Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School. Let's sing some songs together. Maybe some of you children would have one you would like. Which one, Heidi?
Number three.
Number three. Is that A Little Ship Was on the Sea? Or is that the one you want? Yeah? Is that all right? Maybe I think probably enough of us know it. We could sing it. A little ship was on the sea.
Thank you.
number 44. And this one last night. 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has sold it to me.
Number two in this one, Come to Jesus Gently Calling, or number two in the kids' book? Which one?
The kids' book.
All right, The Little Child of Seven. Is that the one you want? All right.
A little child of seven, or even three or four, may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ the Son of God, 'tis then the soul receiveth salvation through his blood.
Have your hand up, Nathan. Which one would you like? Number four. All right. Do you know how the one you want? Do you know how it goes? Is it Christ the Savior of sinners? Is that the one? All right.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom. This is the
minutes. Any other children want to give one out before we go on to the next part? Just to make sure nobody misses out that wants to give out a song. All right, sure, I think we know that one. Running Over.
Running over, running over, my cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be.
Yippee!
My cup is full and running over.
All right, thanks, David and Kira, for your help. Anybody else want to give one out before we pray? Do you have one you want to sing, Sienna?
Yeah.
Which one? Could you say it again, please?
Yeah.
I didn't hear which one you said. Do you mind saying it again?
Oh,
you sing Running Over at home, yeah? Do you want to sing another song?
Yeah.
Which one do you think she might like, Jeremy?
She likes Stop and Let Me Tell You.
Okay, I think that's 81 in this book. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Children on the front row can tell me where we read in the reading meeting yesterday. Anybody know? Lydia? John 10. Very good. Any of the rest of you kids know something that we read about in the reading meeting? What does John 10 talk about? We spent almost 3 hours yesterday reading and talking about John 10. Can anybody remember something from John 10 that we talked about? I have to remember everything. I was just thinking of something. What does John 10 talk about? So I would like to talk a little bit more about John 10 this morning. Anybody remember something from yesterday? Oh, thanks, yeah. The Good Shepherd. Thank you. The Good Shepherd. I am not a shepherd. But can you tell me what animals I do have, Timmy?
I don't know.
But not at your house, but what about at my house? Do I have some animals at my house? What animals do I have?
Chickens.
Chickens, yeah. Chickens. Now, what do you think are smarter, chickens or sheep? That's a tough one. Ezra, what do you think?
Chickens.
You think chickens are? I'm not so sure about that, but I don't really know what the answer is. But in this chapter that we read, it says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So, the first thing that it says here is, "My sheep hear my voice." Can you hear my voice, David? Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you can hear me, right? Yeah. All right. I want to try to do something here. So you kids, close your eyes, okay? So you can't see. All right, close your eyes. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to pick somebody in the room to say something. And I want you to be able to see if you can tell who it is. Heidi, you got to close your eyes, okay? All right.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, you can open your eyes, kids. Do you know who said it?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Timmy's dad.
Timmy's dad. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you don't know him super well, but you could tell it was his voice, right? And if somebody called on the phone, can you see them when they call? No. But by listening before, you can often tell who it is, even if they just say hello. Even if they just say one word, you can often tell who it is. All right? Now I want to think a little bit more about those chickens in the backyard. Sometimes we have a few chickens that like to jump over the fence, and they like to get out. But the problem is, when it's nighttime, they don't seem to know how to jump back over the fence to get back into the safe place to stay at night in the chicken house. And so they hide under a bush. But you know what? Mr. Coyote likes to eat chickens. And if he's sniffing around, do you think under a bush is a good place to hide for the night? Well, it might work, but it also might not. But in the chicken house is the safe place to be. If the chicken's in the chicken house and the door is shut, they're safe. Well, often when we come home from meeting, we have to go back around behind the house and we have to call, "Come here, girls." And you know what? Those chickens, they know my voice. They know because they've heard since they were little chicks, me calling them to come. All right? And they know that I am the one who gives them food, and I give them water, and I give them shelter. And they know my voice. Right? They have experienced what happens when I call them to come. And so they come from wherever they're hiding, and they get to go into the safety of the chicken house. And then they're safe for the night. Nothing can get them. All right? Now, all of us are alive in this world. Are we hiding under a bush to be safe? Well, no. But the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and he wants you to be safe with him. Okay? And he calls you to come to him, to be with him. All right? Just like I call those chickens. All right? To come. All right? Now, those chickens could say, "You know what? I know better than that man. I like it under my bush. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to stay right here." Well, what happens when Mr. Coyote comes along that night and he's hungry? He gets a nice chicken dinner. Because that chicken wasn't safe under the bush. Right? And for you children, the only safe place to be is with the Lord Jesus. All right? And he is calling you to trust in him. All right? And why do you need to trust in him? Well, we have sins, right? We have sins that make us dirty when God sees us. All right? And that means we don't have eternal life. And we are going to perish. You know, those chickens would get eaten by a coyote, and then that's the end of them. But for a person who dies without the Lord Jesus, they perish. That means they go to hell. They go away from God, away from light and love, everything good, forever. That's a lot more serious than getting eaten by a coyote. All right? So it's far more important what we're talking about this morning, that you come to the Lord Jesus when he calls you to come to him, than that those chickens come to the chicken house or a sheep comes to the shepherd. Very important to trust in the Lord Jesus. All right? And I know that a lot of you children have trusted in him, but I also expect that perhaps there's one or two that have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus. And I'd really like that you would trust him. You know, those little chickens trust me. Right? They trust me. You can trust Jesus a lot more, because I sometimes could get frustrated with those chickens when they don't listen. Maybe I'm not perfect towards them. But that's not how our good shepherd is towards us. He is always good. So he gives eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right. Let's see here. This is in my hand, right? Could you pull it out of my hand? All right. He could pull it out of my hand. Even though I moved it the first time, he could pluck it out of my hand. Right now, I don't have the book any now, and Ezra does, right? Now, do you think I could get it away from Ezra? You think so? Yeah. I'm quite confident that I could. But we're not going to wreck the book. Okay. So I could pluck it from his hand by using force, because I know that I happen to know that I'm stronger than Ezra. All right? Now, what if I decided to hold it and say, Ezra, you try and get out of my hand. Now, do you think he could get it if I really wanted to stop him? But what about tonight when I go to sleep? What if he snuck up in the night? Could he get it out of my hand? Probably. Right? Because I'm pretty limited in being able to hold on to something. So you could pluck it out of my hand, or maybe there's somebody stronger than me. They could come and pull it out of my hand. All right? So this book isn't really that safe with me, is it? It's really not that safe. But when we come to the Lord Jesus and we trust in him, all right? It says, no man or no one can pluck them out of my hand. No one. That doesn't mean any person or any angel or demon. In Romans it says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing in the future, nothing in the past, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, if you have come to the Lord Jesus, all right, and you have trusted in him, you know what that means? That means you're one of his sheep. I am a sheep that belongs to the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Nobody can take me away from him. No one. You know, I had a Christian friend in high school, and he had a lot of confidence. One day he got up in the cafeteria on one of the lunch tables and he preached the gospel to everyone from one of the tables in the cafeteria. He had a lot of courage. But you know what? He thought that he could get lost out of the Lord's hand. That was very sad. And I tried to tell him, no. No one can pluck me out of his hand. That's what the Lord Jesus says. It's impossible. All right? So, do I always do things that are right? What do you think? Do I always do what's right? No. Sometimes I do things that are wrong. Do you sometimes do things that are wrong? Yeah. Are you still the Lord's sheep? Yeah. Can someone pluck you out of your hand because you did something wrong? No. He said, no one can pluck me out of his hand. Now, if we do something wrong, kind of like a good dad, he's going to have to deal with us, right? To correct us so we go the right way because he loves us. But we're never going to get out of his hand. All right? Now, does that mean I always feel like I'm in his hand? Well, sometimes my conscience tells me I did something really bad and I feel uncomfortable. But does that change that I'm in his hand? No. All right? So we have to believe what God has said by faith. Right? We listen to what he said and we believe it. All right? So when we feel like we're not sure, what do we do? You know what I do? I repeat, sometimes out loud, a verse of the scripture, just like this one. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. I believe it. Am I worried anymore? No, because I believe it. All right? And so Satan will come to you at many times in your life with doubts. Kind of like an arrow. He zings in at you. To make you be like, well, if I really believed, would I have done that? So what do? We go to what God has said. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. Am I safe? Yes, I am. All right? So that's very important. And you children can be at peace in your lives. You don't have to be afraid. You can be in perfect confidence in the Lord. Well, I think we know these scriptures pretty well. But I'd like to just go over them briefly here again. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then down in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'd like to just read a couple verses that I've enjoyed in connection with this. One in John 19, verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then another one quickly in Mark chapter 15 that we just had a family reading. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Lord Jesus said he was going to lay down his life for the sheep. Do you think that I would be willing to die for my chickens? What do you think, Timmy? No, you're right. If it was me or the chickens would have to go. Why would I die for my chickens? They're just chickens. Right? What do they matter? I care about them. I like them. I try to keep them safe. But I'm not willing to die for my chickens. So why would the good shepherd be willing to die for his sheep? Why wouldn't he just get new sheep? Why would he be willing to lay down his own life for the sheep? Then he would be dead. Why would he do that? What do you think? Why would he be willing to lay down his life for the sheep? Go ahead.
So that we can be
so that we could be saved. That's good. Do you think that he loved those sheep? Yeah. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the love that the Lord Jesus has showed towards you. That's the love that he has given to me. He laid down his own life for the sheep. If you're one of his sheep, does that not rejoice your heart to think that the shepherd was willing to give his life for you? That he loves you enough to do that? That's wonderful. That's the shepherd that we have. That has called us to follow him. In verse 9, it says, I am the door, by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you think that sheep like to eat, Heidi? You think so? Yeah, I think so too. I don't think any of us like to be hungry, right? So what would pasture help with? What do you think, Addie? What do you think? What do you think pasture would be for sheep? And then what would they do in the pasture? Yeah, they would eat. And then they would get filled up and they wouldn't be hungry anymore, right? All right. As people, do we have a desire to be filled? I certainly do. Well, here it says that the Lord's sheep are going to go in and out and they're going to find pasture. So, that means that we're going to be filled. The Lord Jesus is going to fill us. We're going to have enough to be satisfied in him. Does that mean I always am satisfied? You know, sometimes there's sheep and they're inside of their pasture. You know, there's an expression that says the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Ever heard that expression? Mm-hmm. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. That's what our flesh says. Our flesh says the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. God is holding back. The good shepherd is holding back something from you that if you could just get, you would be satisfied. All right? You would be satisfied if you had that other thing, whatever it is. All right? So who can tell me in the Garden of Eden, who came saying that God was holding something back? Satan did. Yeah. And he kind of wrested the truth. He twisted it. Said, I'm going to just change it just a little bit. But what happened when they tried to be satisfied by disobeying God? What happened?
They weren't satisfied.
And now the rest of us, every person that has lived has been unsatisfied for the rest of time, naturally, because Eve and Adam listened to Satan. So Satan is going to come to you all of your life and he's going to offer you things. Say, my green grass is better. If you listen to me, you will be filled up. Is it true? No. It's always a lie. He never tells you the fine print. Right? That there's pleasure in sin for a season. That his green grass will not satisfy you. But with the Lord, there is pasture. There's that to satisfy and to fill the longing heart, and to give us to have joy in our lives. Well, that's primarily what I wanted to speak about the Lord's care towards us as his sheep. And you know what? There's a work that we're called to, and that's to care for one another as well. To be shepherds too. To care for the flock. It's something that we often forget about. Lydia, do you want to say your memory verse for this week? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. All right. Is that how we naturally are? Do we naturally want to think about other people, or we want to think about ourselves? We naturally want to think about ourselves. How do I feel about this? How does this affect me? All right. But the Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, he's the one given as the example in those next verses after that one, as the one who emptied himself, who laid down his life, who cared for the sheep. And each one of us, if we can enter into how much the Lord Jesus loved the sheep, and we can respond to him, we too will care for his sheep. You think that's just when you're an adult that you would care for the Lord's sheep? No, it's not. Right? His sheep are often little. And I see some of you as siblings taking care of a younger sibling or maybe helping out a cousin. Right? The Lord has care for these little ones. And if you can recognize his care towards those little ones, you too can do the work of being a shepherd, of caring for the others. Not so that you look good or that you'll get a reward, but because the Lord Jesus loves those little sheep, those little lambs, to feed them, to watch out for them, to make sure that in the assembly there's still waters, that those little ones wouldn't be turned away.